Welcome to the second episode of the Dog Pound Daily Podcast. I am Stephen Kubica. Once again, I'm joined by Andrew Sipe, site contributor Dog Pound Daily. Andrew, we recently tried to record this episode talking all about the Browns, going after Kirk Cousins, what it's going to take. But now that he's franchise tagged by the Redskins, what do we do? Who's going to be the quarterback for the Browns?
Well, it was a huge bummer that Kirk got tagged. I knew as soon as it happened, I think I looked at my phone and had a text from you that basically said we had to rework our whole podcast.
Oh, doom and gloom. Kirk got tagged.
And then not only that, Jimmy Garoppolo's claimed now to be unavailable in trade talks, so we'll see how long that lasts, taking two giant options for the Browns off their quarterback board.
Yeah, we're going to talk about both of those guys. Let's start with Kirk. Obviously, he got the exclusive franchise tag, so he's getting about, you know, a measly $24 million a year in Washington. Could still work out a long-term deal, but they could trade him if they want to. Is there any chance the Browns even call Washington about a trade? Or, you know, because it's going to be too much money at this point, and if they tagged him twice, they may want to keep him. They're not doing it the smart way. But is there any reason to even inquire about him anymore?
Yeah, I think there's reason to call. I mean, you never know how they truly feel. They could be doing that to drive up the price. But, I mean, if I'm Washington, I want to keep them. So I think you have to do your due diligence. But I'm a big proponent of if you think he's your franchise guy, then do whatever it takes to get him. However, in this case, this might be a little bit different because not only are you giving up two first-round picks on a team that has basically no talent, you're paying a ton of money to a quarterback that has no talent around him. So it's just an interesting scenario.
Yeah, he was definitely a guy who was on the Browns' radar, but it was a fan obsession. Like, oh, maybe we can get Kirk Cousins. Well,
it was a pipe
maybe we can get Tony
anything.
Romo.
Yeah,
but it was just kind of hype. You know, the Kirk Cousins hype train this time of year always gives credence to that of, oh, we can get this guy's a free agent. Maybe he'll want to come sign with the Browns, and that is never the case.
Well, it seems it's almost too perfect of timing that it came out the day before that the Browns were rumored to have interest or that Kirk was looking to go anywhere. And then all of a sudden Washington threw the franchise tag on him. So it's almost like Cousins camp may have leaked out that information themselves. It's almost weird how that works.
There was definitely a Cousins camp leak there because once those skins saw that he said, I'll play anywhere, they're like, all right, just tag him.
But it's a quick way to earn $25 million.
Yeah, I believe it's 23.94 guaranteed.
Oh, wow.
Getting over $1 million a game.
It's a lot
must
of
be
McChickens.
Nice. He better go. I saw that number. He better go 16-0.
It's a lot of McChickens.
That's Brock Osweiler money right there. I'll tell you,
yeah,
that's
a little bit
that's
better
a big
Brock
time
Osweiler.
Thing to live up to.
He's a little bit better than Brock, though.
He's a tiny bit better, you know.
Similar
quarterback, but he can actually throw the ball. So moving on from Kirk, and it's hard for both of us, I know, to move on from Kirk. We'll put him behind us. Let's talk about Garoppolo. We are recording this Wednesday night. Today on Wednesday, Adam Schefter said, according to his sources, who I don't know who they are, but they're usually reliable, that Garoppolo may not even be up for a trade this year. Now, I know, both jumped on the conspiracy theory bandwagon that this is a smokescreen by the Patriots and the evil genius known as Bill Belichick to drive up the price and maybe have a team like the Browns call and say, you know what, we'll give you our number one pick. Do you believe it's a smokescreen for sure, or do you think, you know, the Browns once again should maybe stay away from this?
It's obviously a smokescreen. I have no inclination or no belief that the Patriots are going to sit on that asset. I think Tom Brady's made it known that he's going to play for four more years or wants to play for four more years.
He's like the healthiest guy in the NFL too.
Yeah, he shows no signs of breaking down. We saw that in the Super Bowl. I think Bill Belichick wants to maximize his assets with Tom Brady and extend his Super Bowl window. He's already going to go down as the greatest coach in NFL history, so why not extend that legacy? It just makes too much sense for the Patriots to trade him instead of sitting on him.
Yeah. I mean, even if they do keep him, they could always I guess he hits the free agent market in 2018.
Well, if they choose to keep him, so what, then they keep him on contract for another year and then what, franchise him like they did Matt Castle and then try and find a trade partner? Well, they know that they're not, like, what leverage do the Patriots have then? You know, if they franchised him, all the teams would know that they could just go after Jimmy Garoppolo in the open market, because they're not going to pay Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo on a second franchise tag. Look what it's already costing Kirk Cousins to keep for a second franchise tag.
Yeah, I couldn't see them tagging him. That would just be, they would just let him go. But yeah, this year, I don't know. Like I said, I believe it's a smokescreen. But I also don't think that the Browns, the Bears, or the Niners are going to give up a top three pick for him. But at the same time, if you're Belichick, what's the point of holding on to him if he's going to be a free agent and you're not going to tag him? So it's an interesting story to follow for sure.
I mean, I think he's a good quarterback. So I think there's a reason why the Patriots are going to sit there and say, oh, well, we're willing to keep him. It's not like a seventh
round
guy that has come in and be like, oh, well, this guy, we think this guy's really good. Like, you know, it's not, I think there's obvious talent with Jimmy Garoppolo, and they have a right to hold it to the vest to drive up that price.
And saying they want to keep him even drives up the price, because they're like, oh, wow, you know, if they're not going to openly trade this guy, then maybe we should call and give him a good offer for it. And
yeah, I mean, what's the point of releasing all your cards now, especially at the combine? Like, everyone knows his quarterback class isn't stellar. There's really, I don't see a guy that's going to upseat Myles Garrett as the number one overall pick. So it's really in their court. Again, that's why I don't think the Browns are going to give up number one for Jimmy Garoppolo, but I think 12 should be in play, because, you know, if you can walk away and draft with a quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo that's better, I guess, more suited to play right away than some of the quarterbacks in the draft, it only makes more and more sense as the draft process continues.
See, I don't want to give up 12 for Garoppolo, but I do see the mindset. If you do give up the 12 for Garoppolo, you have your starting quarterback, and you still have four picks in the top 65. So completely, you know, derailing the whole draft.
Do you not want to take a quarterback at 12, or just not Jimmy Garoppolo at 12?
I don't want to take Garoppolo with the 12th pick. I'd rather get a rookie, you know, get him on that rookie deal, have him come in, because I don't think the Browns are going to win more than four games next season, regardless. When I eventually preview this season, I'm going to say 9-7 with a smile on my face. But realistically, I don't think, you know, matter who comes in, they're going to be like really good or even contending for anything except third place in the AFC North.
You know,
so I'd rather just have a rookie come in and learn under Hugh Jackson, kind of how Andy Dalton did, take some time and just develop.
But even look at the Eagles. The Eagles had Carson Wentz back there, and they had next to nobody, just like the Browns. And good quarterback play can take you a long way in the NFL. A long way. All it takes is a few bounces in a couple games to get.
You know, the Browns'
defense
was so bad this year.
I agree, but that's not to say that they don't go after a guy in Tremaine Johnson who played under Greg Williams if he doesn't get franchise tagged. Tony Jefferson from the Arizona Cardinals, another guy on defense that can help shore up some of the secondary issues. I mean, I'm not saying this team's going to turn around and go 12-4, but they do have a lot of room to sign key young free agents coming off their rookie deals. And if you can trade a number 12 pick to get a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, quarterback play is only going to help accelerate that process.
And yeah, if they can get those free agents, then definitely it becomes more of an option, you know, for me. But as of right now, obviously a trade like that wouldn't happen until draft night. They're going to keep Garoppolo and hear offers until, you know, each team is on the phone making their, or you know, on the clock making their pick. But for now, there's so many other pieces that need to be filled. If you can get a top defensive guy, I'm not one of the people who's staunch like defense wins championships, because seeing how bad the quarterback play has been for the Browns, they just need someone competent back there, and that would just help them so much. And people say defense wins championships. Tom Brady wins championships. It's any sport. It changes. It's never just offense or defense.
What's defense really measured on? You know, so look at Atlanta had one of the best ranked defenses in the NFL. You want to know why? They're playing with a 21-0 lead, and they are able to blitz the quarterback. They're allowed to take chances because they're playing from in front. You can take risks when you do that. It's not like the Browns, where you're down 14-0 and have to abandon the run in the first quarter, and now your defense is on the field the entire game because RG3 can't throw a first down.
Oh, I agree. There's so much that goes into it. You can't you get frustrated with the Browns defense even last year, but yeah, when they're starting on the 50-yard line every time.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that the Browns defense, just by good quarterback play, is going to be better, but I just think a lot of the defensive statistics can be skewed based on some of the quarterback player or offenses that the defenses are playing behind, you know? Same thing with a good offense, or same thing in basketball. Good defense creates good offense. So you get stops, you get out in transition. It's the same type of thing. If your defense can stay fresh, the longer they're on the sideline, the fresher they're going to be in the fourth quarter.
I agree with that. And, you know, if they can get a few pieces in there outside of the draft that are, you know, actually talent, not just getting random guys off the waiver wire like they do all year.
Is it Brandon Williams from the Ravens that they're not franchise tagging? So and Don Terry Poe is a free agent too. There's a couple defensive tackles out there that I hope Greg Williams has his eye on. Him and Danny Shelton in the middle. Whew.
And they certainly have the money. That's why let's move on to a current Browns player who kind of relate to this salary cap situation, Terrell Pryor. So the Browns have over $100 million to spend. Oh, which is insane.
Hey, let's not. They signed their long snapper. They signed the punter.
And Britton Colquitt. Yeah, 4-year extension. I was worried about him leaving, you know.
Hey, the most Browns way to spend $100 million in cap space, I'll tell you that.
They're going to sign 9 kickers.
Yep.
Pryor did not get franchise tagged, leaving former kicker Phil Dawson as the only Browns player to ever receive the tag. And that's not necessarily bad. Because it means the Browns usually can work out some deals with guys, but it's getting pretty risky here with Pryor, who, and people say, I saw a tweet today. Oh, he's not worth $15 million, which is the tag range. And someone responded and said, the Browns have $100 million. When you're a bad team, you have to overspend on players. And who's to say he's not worth that? That's the tag number. If they're not willing to give him a long-term extension, that's what he's going to cost.
People are, I mean, so what are they going to judge him on the fact that he only caught 1,000 yards with 6 different quarterbacks? I mean, what's going to happen when he goes to the open market? You're telling me if he goes to New England that he's not worth $15 million a year? Like,
and it's just, it's all speculative value. There's no, he's not worth 15. How can you gauge that?
Yeah, I mean, if people want to give him a Doug Baldwin contract, but you know what? I'd pay Doug Baldwin $15 million a year. Just keeps the talent on the spot.
They have $100 million to spend. Yeah. NFL rosters are always very top-heavy. You're going to have your skill players receiving a lot of money, maybe a few linemen like Joe Thomas, but there's no reason why you can't give Pryor $15
million. Oh, well, no. So then they can bring in 6 more wide receivers on a rookie contract. That
exactly.
Produce. You know, if you've got a guy that's proven, I really don't understand why the both sides haven't worked this out yet. I think if the Browns are lowballing him, they need to really sack up and pay the man his money. You know, it's one thing for a guy like Jamie Collins that may not, like, you know, at the beginning there was a lot of speculation whether he truly would re-sign with Cleveland because, you know, it really isn't the most enticing team in the league. The fact that Terrell Pryor has come out and said that he wants to be here is all the more reason why you need to sign him. You know, if they can't come to an agreement, you know, that's already a sign that I'm losing faith in this front office to retain their in-house talent.
Yeah. Obviously we don't know the discussions. Maybe they've talked with his agent and said, we're going to work out a deal. But even if you tag him, you could still work out a deal all the way up till July 15th. Yeah. Although I do see the point of if you tag him, he might just say, all right, I'm fine with the tag. I'm fine with that 15 guaranteed. So you want to wait. And we don't know, like I said, the discussions, but...
Well, if you tag him like that, it gives him a baseline for next year. Then exactly. He is worth $15 million. You know, Alshon Jeffrey got tagged, and that, I can guarantee you there's no way he's not going to get nearly what he got on the tag this year in free agency. Not a chance.
It's a weird mindset. It seems like some Browns fans, they act like it's their own money, and they also act like, oh, well we drafted 4 receivers. Like, okay, well, we have a guy who... no one else wanted. We turned him into a, you know, top receiver for our team. He's a team leader, going to be a leader on a very young offense, can help all these young receivers they have. And because people forget, it's not like he's a rookie or a second-year guy. He's been in the league for about 5 years.
I heard a guy on the radio that got upset because the Browns let go of Andrew Hawkins. Like, come on. Like, you're going to keep a guy on the roster that's so... I mean, yeah, he's a solid receiver, very productive, but what is he really teaching those young guys? I get that there's some mentoring going on, that like you're having that older veteran in the locker room, but at some point you're putting a guy on the field that's the opposite of your process. You know,
the whole process is they're rebuilding, and that's why when you rebuild, you keep some veteran talent, but you can't keep it all. And Pryor is a guy who is not a veteran receiver, but he's still a veteran player. He's a guy you have to keep over someone like Hawkins.
He's there's huge. No question. He runs. I mean, the dude is just hitting his potential as a receiver, and the fact that you're not paying for the value of what he is right now. You're paying for the value of what you see in those flashes, in those preseason games where he's catching bombs from RG3. You're looking at what the future could be with a guy like Mitch Trubisky heaving up and throwing it 60 yards downfield to a wide-open Terrell Pryor. You know, those are the kind of things that you look for in that receiver, and for the Browns to be kind of skimpy on their contract discussions is just a little alarming to me.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, honestly. It's like I said, it's too early to jump on, but it's overthinking a simple move.
It's the same thing last year. They traded out a number two on the thing that we'll punt this year a quarterback in the hopes that there's a quarterback this year that separates themselves. There's a clear cut number one. Well, you know, I hear a lot of the arguments for Sam Darnold and the Browns should wait till next year, and there's no guarantee. You know, I would love, I just watched film on him before we started this podcast. You know, I would love to see him in a Browns uniform, but you know, you just can't keep waiting. Waiting gets coaches fired.
No, so, yeah, that's the problem. People say like, oh, well, we'll just get a quarterback next year. Well, your team's going to be horrible forever because it's, what if he gets hurt? What if the Browns aren't the worst team in the NFL? And do you really want to watch another whole season of them being terrible? Like, it's miserable. It ruins the point of professional sports if your team is consistently horrible.
Exactly. And that's today, Sashi Brown, I believe, said that he didn't rule out the possibility of RG3, Cody Kessler, and Kevin Hogan returning as all three quarterbacks.
Oh, no.
I think if that's your case, then Hugh Jackson better be already lining up another job. I don't see a scenario that Hugh Jackson fields a team with those three quarterbacks this year. I just don't see it.
Yeah, it'd be unfair to Hugh if that's who he gets. That's why it seems like someone like Tyrod Taylor could be targeted if he's let go by the Bills, because he's not going to come in and, you know, go 16-0 or even 12-4, but he can at least give them consistent quarterback play. So it highlights the fact that the quarterback play isn't the main problem here. We could use a star. Every team could use a star quarterback. But it's the parts like the defense, and they could actually, in certain receiver slots, they could see guys where they need to improve, as opposed to the offense is so miserable because the leader of the offense is so bad that you can't even gauge the team.
I mean, that's what separates your front office from one another. You know, you look at teams like Indianapolis. So, yeah, they have a great quarterback. And you know, if they had a GM that drafted some pieces around them, they'd be a damn good football team. But then you take a look at teams like the Patriots, who consistently draft well and may not have studs at those key positions, but they're just guys that come in and do their job. You have the Packers. The Packers have all the offensive weapons in the world, but you know what? They still, on defense, have some of those issues in the secondary. Every team has those issues. And when you have a quarterback there, you're able to develop other positions better. And when you hit on those draft picks, it really helps to separate you from maybe that 6-7 win team to more that 11-12 win team.
And those teams aren't afraid to take chances either. That's key. There's all the top teams in the NFL have players who are considered to be, it's a bad contract. But if you're in a 4-year, $50 million deal or something, and you have one bad year, it doesn't mean it's a bad contract. And that seems like that's how Browns fans are. So year to year, it's like if they sign Pryor to, say Pryor gets 12 a year for 4 years, and he has an average year this year with like Cody Kessler throwing the ball to him. And nothing against Kessler. We both like Cody Kessler, but you can't gauge someone's value on an inexperienced quarterback throwing him the ball.
Yeah, it's just one of those things too, where we've just been through so much in year to year. You know, it's really tough to gauge anything aside from like what the current front office is doing, because aside from like maybe 5 years ago, everything's been every 2 years changed in, changed out. So you're so used to giving that new front office like a couple chances to get things right, or in some cases just no chances at all because you're so sick of it. So it's really tough to trust a front office, because you think, I mean, like us, I know we give the confidence or the benefit of the doubt to all these front offices.
Well, you have to almost, because that's you have no control over the situation. So if you immediately don't trust them, then don't even watch the games. There's no point, because you're going to be so upset. Anytime something, you're going to be so angry. Now, when there's moves like Dwayne Bowe being signed, that's okay to be frustrated. But
I get that, but can you really blame fans though? Like, and not everyone is such a diehard like us. So you're watching, even if you're watching casually, like you're still trying to pay attention to the team. And
yeah, and we're making blanket statements saying fans, but there's people who, I mean, me and you are very young Browns fans. There's people who have been fans since, I mean, they're in their 70s, and you can't blame them for being like, oh, they're lying. Front office is lying, because after that long. And me and you also go in with the mindset of, you know, we love the Browns, but we also, you know, it does affect our emotions for the week. But we don't go into the season thinking Super Bowl or bust. We go in just game the game. Let's hope they do well. That's because it's at the end of the day, it's football. And we still get upset when they do bad, but there's no point to go in pessimistic because it just ruins the fun of watching.
You watch it knowing that it's going to be bad, but you're so frustrated because you're like, this is not that hard. Like, I see teams do this on Sunday Night Football. I watch Sunday Night Football in America, Football Night in America, and you just see the different level of football. You watch the Falcons, the Packers. You're like, wow.
Well, take that one throw from Aaron Rodgers to Richard Rodgers.
Like, this is fun to watch. Then you watch the Browns, and RG3 is just slopping the ball into the ground 5 feet away. You're like, I watched Aaron Rodgers lace a 36-yard frozen rope to Jared Cook right on the
His Hail Marys, everything. It's almost like we're watching a different sport. And teams come to Cleveland with no fear of losing.
And Terrell Pryor, I mean, you talk about teams not fearing you. Talk about giving a team something to game plan for. You take away Terrell Pryor, you pick any part of their game, they'll pick the Browns apart.
If they don't re-sign Terrell Pryor, they're going to have one of the worst receiving cores in the entire NFL, because Corey Coleman's going to be double teamed the entire game, and you're going to have Ricardo Lewis, who notoriously has stone hands. You're going to have Jordan Payton, who doesn't look like he can get open.
Is he still on the team?
He is. He did end the season suspended, I believe, for substance abuse or a performance-enhancing drug, which is always a good way to end your rookie season.
Must have had a bad guy.
But, at the same time, Josh Gordon is applying for reinstatement again. Now, I want a number here. Percent chance.
Zero.
Gordon is on the field next year.
Zero.
Zero?
I've literally gotten my hopes up for the last 2 years.
Well, I do think he'll be reinstated, though, because Goodell, although people hate Goodell, but Josh Gordon's an interesting case. He had a relapse situation. He had a lot of stuff in his life, and I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just trying to, you know, bring in all the sides of it. He was set to come back, and I believe he found out he was a father of a kid, and just was very stressful. And he looks like he's working towards comeback. He's not like Johnny Manziel, who's like appearing on, you know, videos throwing footballs at Barstool Sports guys, but he seems like he's working out to come back. But like you said, you get your hopes up. There's almost no point in even throwing out a number. And it's not like the Browns have I think the Browns front office has zero faith that he's ever going to clean up.
Oh, they'll come out and say they support his goals and his recovery, and that's great. I don't see a scenario in which the Browns trust him enough to play on their football team. And I would love to keep him, and I hope that if they do keep him, I'm still going to be happy about it. But I've seen this fiddle being played three times now, and him trying to come back, and I just can't.
There's no reason to cut him. And people say, oh, just cut him. He's not even getting paid, or he's not on the team. There's no point to cut him, but there's no point to get your hopes up at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, if he comes into training camp and is busting his ass, like I know in 2013 they said he was like loafing in practice, and if he's coming in every day doing his job, I mean, being a good influence on the locker room, then it's fine. But I don't think he's going to pass reinstatement. So once that happens, we'll go from there.
Yeah, it's almost like too stressful to even talk about, because he's so talented, as we all know. And if him and Pryor could line up at one and two receivers, and you put Coleman in the slot or something, or just put Gordon
put
in the slot,
at quarterback, and I think we'd be all right.
Yeah, it's difficult. But with going back to the Pryor situation, not the Pryor situation, the Terrell Pryor situation, Tough.
Nice. I see what you did there.
Tough. I see what I did there. Segways are hard. So it's almost, you don't want to, like you said, you don't want to just go in hating the front office, but
it's just hard to trust them. I mean, they put such an emphasis on retaining their own talent, and they got Jamie Collins done right away. And I get that maybe Terrell Pryor's agents were pushing him to hit the market because God knows what he could get from a team that is desperate for a wide receiver, like, say, Philadelphia or, I don't know, whoever else, Washington.
The crazy thing is, if he signs somewhere else, there's going to be Browns fans who are saying, oh, he's not loyal, blah, 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 blah. There's no loyalty if no one's, like, if a team has to pay you what you're worth. That's exactly the whole point of free agency in sports.
Give him, I mean, I'm not saying he deserves $15 million, but if that's what he's asking for and you want him on your team, you think he's a building block, you're going to have to do that for players at this stage in the rebuild. It's going to have to happen.
Yeah, you have so much money. You can, what, does Jimmy Haslam, like, need to pay legal fees or something?
Ooh, that's a conspiracy theory. Dive more into that next on conspiracy
That's a conspiracy theory.
Live.
We want to jump on. No, it's baffling that they, like I've been saying, that they would even go into free agency with him not signed. But at the same time, they could still negotiate with him over the next week. They don't have to let him hit the market. He once a new year begins. But
I mean, they said they're going to talk to him, his representatives at the combine. There was an article written on that. So I believe that something's going to happen. It's just, if it doesn't happen, that's when I'm like, oh, come on, guys.
If it happens before this podcast is posted, I'm going to be so mad.
It'll break tomorrow morning. Tomorrow, right when you get done editing it, you'll click save and Terrell Pryor signs.
Breaking news. Nope. I will deny it.
Take this podcast down from like 40 minutes to 20 minutes.
Well, to get off the Pryor train in case that, you know, scenario happens, let's talk about, I know in our last podcast attempt before we got, you know, ruined by Kirk, let down by Kirk, we were talking about scenarios for the quarterback situation. You kind of brought it up already with RG3, Kessler, and Hogan coming in as the three quarterbacks. Would you be comfortable at all with Cody Kessler and RG3 duking it out for a starting spot to open the season? Or would you think that'd just be a waste of a season and they just wasted all these great opportunities to even draft a guy or go after a guy like Tyrod Taylor or even offer a big haul for Garoppolo?
No, I don't feel comfortable with RG3.
It was a loaded question, yes. So that's the first part.
Yeah, I'm gonna start off by saying no, I don't think RG3 being on the roster at all is a good thing. I mean, if he's going to be in a quarterback battle, look how it ended up with Kirk Cousins in Washington.
Like, yeah, RG3 didn't even draft.
He drafted Cody Kessler for a reason, and RG3 should not get in the way of Cody Kessler seeing the field. So if they think Kessler's the guy, then go for it. I just don't think he's the guy right away. I think he's one of those guys that you kind of you give the first round pick a chance, and you keep giving Kessler those backup reps to develop. And then when maybe that rookie's contract is getting up or you start to see that maybe he's not the guy, Kessler's got that 3-4 year of experience to kind of step in and say, all right, well, I think I can run this offense now. You know, I don't see it right now in his downfield ability to stretch the field. I don't see
it. It's tough with the Browns, and especially for us Browns fans, because every quarterback on the roster, we have to have a legitimate conversation about, would you be comfortable with them starting? No other team goes through this. No one's like, oh, well, would you be comfortable if, you know, your third string quarterback started? The answer is obviously no. That's why he's a third stringer.
There's a reason why they made the third quarterback. You could just not have to dress one. You know, there's a reason, because most teams didn't have to touch them. And I understand that there's a lot of talk about how bad the Browns offensive line is, and yeah, it's getting old. It probably needs a few pieces there, but it would also help if the quarterbacks didn't hold onto the ball for 10 seconds.
And people don't realize that offensive linemen aren't supposed to block for 5 seconds every play.
Well, they probably turn around and they look, they're like, can you throw the ball already?
Well, there's countless situations where the tackles would block the guys outside to form form the pocket like you're supposed to. And when RG3 was in there, he would run to the outside. Like me, every time I play Madden, I just sprint to the outside every single time and get drilled. But you can't do that in the NFL. And it seems almost unnatural like just like in your mind to
not every play
to run to the outside.
Every play is a long play. Yeah, not every play has to be a home run. You know, find. And I play with the Browns playbook in Madden all the time. I know there's a lot of short routes in there. So you've got to be able to find your receivers right away based on the coverage. It's not that
another
hard.
Conspiracy theory.
It's really not. Just get rid of the
ball. I have Hugh Jackson's playbook on my desk. No, every playbook has this. It's just common sense. And it's and
the Patriots do it so well. And people talk about Jimmy Garoppolo being a system quarterback. Well, I would love that. To have
a great
system. That means he's good. That means he's good. You know, he's playing well in the NFL on a system that not only allows him to be he's shown that he's been poised. He has to be accurate in that system, and he's shown to be. I mean, like, if he's a system quarterback, what system?
What better system than New England?
System. Yeah, they run a pro-style system. What of all these quarterbacks coming out of the draft run? All that spread offense, impossible to judge whether they even translate to the NFL level. Put a guy back there that knows how to run an NFL offense, and I guarantee you that ball will come out a lot quicker.
And, yeah, when you watch the Patriots, when Tom Brady gets hit, he is so shocked. Like there was when Tom Brady gets sacked, there's a key personnel breakdown among the offensive line, the running backs, and him. When a Browns quarterback gets sacked, it's
everyone's looking around like, I don't know.
It's you're not even surprised. It's so no. much goes on the quarterback that people put on the offensive line. There's always it's weird to me that there's Browns fans protect the quarterback so much. Like people say, like, oh, well maybe we can put RG3. Like the line's bad. Well, the line, like you said, may not be great, but he's not a good quarterback.
I mean, how many times did we? And Kessler's guilty of this too. Literally staring at a blitzing linebacker and not adjusting.
Well, he's a rookie too, third string rookie. So that's tough.
No, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, you have RG3, a guy that has clearly shown that he can't read NFL defenses. He can't do it.
And he had a whole offseason. He came here in March of last year. Whole offseason to prepare.
I'm done with RG3. But even Kessler, I mean, if you can find a quarterback that's able to understand defenses and adjust pre-snap at the line, that's why I like Mitch so much, because he was basically running that North Carolina offense. He's deciding, and it's a little different, probably a little bit more simplified, because it's more he's deciding whether they're running or passing on 75% of their plays. Like, that's awesome. Good. I want a quarterback that's able to do that. Give me a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo that no, like play to play could literally run a no huddle offense with Hugh's playbook and give that up tempo offense that Hugh Jackson wanted and had with Andy Dalton 2 years ago.
I agree. You bring in a guy who's smart, gets rid of the ball, and just, I mean, reading a defense, it's not easy. We're not saying it's easy, but it's, you have to do it. There's no time to learn how. It's too late.
I mean, why do you think Johnny Manziel struggled so hard when he came into the NFL that first game? You go from Texas A&M throwing up the ball, literally just running around in the backfield.
Throwing it to Mike Evans every time.
And heaving it to Mike Evans, yeah. And RG3 is the same way at Baylor. Same thing. I mean, put a guy – I would rather see a guy back there. In Mahomes, I don't like any of his mechanics, but he's able to get the ball out, and he gets it out quick and accurately. So just someone that is able to see a route right away. And I don't care if it's a two-yard dink right to the running back. If it gets 8 yards, good. It doesn't need to be – every pass doesn't need to be in the air for 15 yards downfield. Just be accurate. Be accurate and throw your receivers open.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. We're almost so used to horrible quarterback play that we have to break it down to the basics so much and be like, oh, what kind of quarterback do you want? Oh, just a guy who can read a defense and, you know, get rid of the ball without getting sacked. Like, can you imagine being a Patriots fan talking to a Browns fan? Like, what do you mean?
They have never seen a quarterback not know how to play football. Like,
it's not even
so good.
It's not even not know how to play football. It's just like fundamentals of being an NFL player. Not
Colt
knowing
McCoy,
how to play NFL
like,
football.
Colt McCoy is good at those kind of things. Like, I think he's a little physically limited, but I still think Colt McCoy is a pretty decent quarterback in the NFL. And it's because he's able to read defenses and be accurate, but he's almost in that Cody Kessler situation where he's a little bit too small and probably doesn't have the downfield arm talent like some of these other quarterbacks do.
And I believe Colt McCoy started ahead of RG3 in Washington when Kirk Cousins was out.
Yeah, it was true. I was there. I was living in D.C. when that was going on. And I'm like, do you
big Colt fan, big Colt fan.
That I'm like, you guys don't realize that Colt McCoy, like, there were fans in Washington chanting for Colt McCoy to be the starter over Kirk Cousins.
Been there before. Like
there were people that wanted Colt McCoy. They're like, RG3 can't stay healthy. And there's people in Washington before he got cut. RG3 can't stay healthy. Kirk is a diva. Oh, like, he's not that good. We need to start Colt McCoy. And I'm sitting there as a Browns fan like, oh, wow, I thought Cleveland was bad. These guys are arguing for Colt McCoy to start. It's pretty crazy.
I mean, I would gladly take Colt. He's my hero. He's a folk hero between me and you. Led some of the greatest Browns wins in those 5-11 seasons.
Those were fun times. I remember watching Josh Cribbs had a crackback block on Brandon Merriweather. Damn near killed him. It was so awesome. Watch the Colt McCoy 24-yard run against the Patriots. He scrambled, and Josh Cribbs has this crackback block on Brandon Merriweather, and he lights him up. It's awesome.
I remember being at that game.
Random Browns memories.
Where were you in 2011 when the Browns were led by the great Colt McCoy?
Peyton Hillis.
Woo. Is there a better Texas football name than Colt McCoy?
Peyton Hillis. Oh, he's an Alabama guy. That's what it was. Or Oklahoma.
He went to Arkansas. He was actually Arkansas. The three-headed monster Arkansas. With McFadden.
DeMarco, or yeah, McFadden. And
maybe Niall Davis.
Joseph Randall?
No. We'll never know. No. There's no internet to look
Felix Jones.
Yes.
I think it was Felix Jones.
And he was the third guy, random and of course the Browns got him because he was the
win
third
me a
guy.
Trivia competition. Yeah. Random NFL trivia that'll never win me a trivia contest.
Who was Peyton Hillis part of a three-headed monster? Oh.
Well, that's most of the problem with the trivia questions. It's like, ooh, NFL, like, I know this kind of stuff. And it's like, in 1986, what was the first letter of the old New York Stadium sidewalk letter? You're like, what? Who would know that? Just one guy like, oh.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
So before we get too deep into, as we do with every podcast, 2011, 2012 Brown seasons, our favorite seasons ever, I want to ask you, based on the current situation of the stuff we know now with Garoppolo, Cousins, and all that, who do you think will be the Browns starting quarterback in 2017? I did see some reports today. Some reporters are thinking Tyrod Taylor. Others say Cody Kessler. Who do you think is going to be the starter?
Mitch Trubisky.
I like it.
Come on home, Mitch. You're my quarterback.
So you think Mitch Trubisky is going to open the season as the starting quarterback?
That's my quarterback. I hope so.
Well, no, that wasn't the question. It was who do you who's going to be the starter? It could be Mitch.
Could be. I don't think it will.
Oh, so though. See, you missed the point of the question.
I know. In my opinion, and I'll just keep adding words until I think
I'm going to say Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah. I'm more on the Mitch train now more than the Tyrod.
Well, I'm not
Taylor
on the Tyrod train. I'm just saying I think he's going to be the starter. You are dodging this.
How many wins with Tyrod Taylor? How many wins do you think the Browns get?
Four.
On the record? Four. Okay. All right. Not drinking the Tyrod.
I'm not saying I love Tyrod Taylor. I think right now it seems like his path is most likely headed towards Cleveland based on his contract situation.
You think he
and the way the Browns operate.
You think he? I mean, you think that they would win one more game with Tyrod Taylor and Myles Garrett and whatever else they had in the offseason versus the 2014 or 2015 Browns that went 3-13.
Yeah, correct.
I don't think they're that bad.
They're pretty
bad. I think the 1-15.
I love the Browns. I want them to go 16-0.
But bad. Listen, 1-15 was bad. But you can't lie. Through the first six or seven games, there were a lot of games that were
but they couldn't close them out.
Hit that schedule of like, oh, I know. And that comes with being a rookie team, but I think there's a good amount of games that could have literally bounced the other way, and that's the NFL. You know, that's what separates good teams.
No, from I get it. I get it. You are trying to get me on the record now, but I still want to know who do you think is going to be the starter?
Oh man, you know, I think part of the reason why I don't want to answer is because I'm really nervous that it's going to be RG3, and I don't want to admit it. So I'm really nervous that it's going to be RG3, but
I could put you down as RG3.
Yeah, Nah, I'm going to say
Mitch.
I'm
all right. Stick with Mitch. And how many wins are they going to get with Mitch? 16 over 4 years?
19, including the Super Bowl. No, it depends. I think if Tyrod's brought in, I think they're definitely going to draft a quarterback anyway. So it just depends on when Mitch gets in. I don't think he's going to start right away. But
so basically what you're trying to tell me is that Mitch Trubisky is going to come here. He's going to win 10 games. They're going to go to the Super Bowl year one.
Yep. Yeah.
He's going to throw one interception and the fans are going to boom out of the stadium.
You heard it here first. Hot takes at Dog Pound Daily. Don't at me on that one.
All right. So you think Mitch is going to start. So like I like to end every podcast of one so far and this one, I want to ask, you kind of dodged that. You said if Tyrod comes in, I want to know if Mitch Trubisky starts the entire season for the Browns, what is their record going to be?
We got to get you on the record.
I told
for
you
some
four.
This.
No matter who starts, me. Four.
Well, let's see. The Kirk Cousins number will officially stay sealed, so at least that will go on my record. And for now,
I believe it was 10.
Garoppolo one won't work out. So 10. That's good. I thought it was 11 when we started. So I'm glad it at least got knocked down one.
He can't even win 10 in Washington. How is he going to win 10 here? But it doesn't matter. He's not going to come here. How many wins will the Browns get in 2017 if Mitchell Trubisky is the starting quarterback for 16 games?
Seven.
Seven wins. I'm going to go four. And I don't want him to win four. I want him to win seven, eight, nine.
I'll take top five teams in the 2018 NFL draft for 200, Alex.
So you think seven games.
The Cleveland Browns.
I believe you thought Garoppolo would win eight. So, seven. All right. Wow.
Just an optimistic guy. Just
let me ask you this for fun.
I believe in
how many games would the Browns win if Tony Romo was the quarterback?
God.
It's got to be at least 10.
Tony Romo. Tony. I don't think he'd make it.
See, I'm
going to
go nine with Romo. I'm a big Romo fan. And I could, you know what I see happening? I see us having all these scenarios.
I'm more of a fan of the women.
We're going to have all these scenarios set out, and Tony Romo is going to get signed by the Browns. And we're going to have to scrap all our material.
Yep. I can't talk about the only thing I like about Tony Romo is that the women that he dates. I don't think he'd be too fond of that. He's probably listening right now.
Probably is,
actually.
Yeah. I think he really likes it.
That's a reason why we had to scrap the last podcast that Kirk Cousins' camp got wind of the Browns Dog Pond Daily podcast that was coming and knew that wasn't going to happen.
Okay, I'm glad I have you on the air saying Mitch will win seven games.
You hear that, Mitch? I hope you're listening.
I have to hold you to that.
Seven wins. Not in 2 years.
So, Andrew, you are a very optimistic Browns fan, and that is admirable. I appreciate the optimism, but I don't foresee the Browns winning any more than, I'll say, five games next year, regardless of who's quarterback. I know we're going to be talking a lot about all the different quarterback options moving forward, and it's going to be fun at the Combine because every year at the Combine, it's leaked, ooh, the Browns are high on Deshaun Watson, they're high on Mitch Trubisky, whoever the top guys are, and of course they are. They're the top quarterback prospects. But it's going to be fun to talk about. Do you think any of those stories are going to come out? And if they do you think it's really anything to worry about?
I don't take anything right now seriously. None of it.
It's all smoke.
It is. I mean, what are teams going to come out and say? They're going to watch someone run like Pat Mahomes. I think he's a guy that his stock's going to go up dramatically during this process because teams look at guys that can run really fast, that play quarterback and can jump really high and do all these athletic things. But they don't pay attention.
Can't read the defense.
Yeah, exactly. They don't know what he can't do in the classroom. Look at guys like Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel, they should have known right away that he couldn't read a defense, and 31 other teams also thought that. So and the Browns were the ones to pull the trigger. So I think it's just important that when the Browns are looking for these quarterbacks, and I think Hugh Jackson will do that, just look for a guy that he knows he can run the offense with. And that's his – we didn't see any of it last year because – we all saw the quarterback slop that was put out there, but you saw that offense that he ran 2 years ago in Cincinnati, and it's that up-tempo, no huddle, quarterbacks making quick decisions, getting the ball out, keeping the defense on their heels. You talk about Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell being a good tandem, like in a normal huddled offense. Imagine them in a no huddle tempoed offense with Duke Johnson in the slot tearing apart linebackers that are already winded. You know, I think if you could just find that quarterback play, it takes a lot of pressure off the defense and other players on the roster to perform.
Yeah, we're gonna have plenty to talk about next time with the combine being over. It's at the time of recording, it's just beginning.
We're gonna do.
The story's going to come out.
Late round scouting reports for offensive linemen and cornerbacks. deep breakdowns on all of these players. So stay tuned. It's going to be a wild ride. I would compare it to in Mrs. Doubtfire when he shows up to the TV studio and the guy's talking about dinosaurs and they're falling asleep while filming. That's what it'll be.
It is going to be... Need you to come in on Sunday to finish up those late round reports.
It's a normal work day today. Just calling to see where you're at. It's 9:30. So this is Bill Lumberg. Thanks.
But it is 90s movies aside. It is going to be fun, and we're excited to talk about it. Be sure to follow us on Twitter with our handles that are on this video screen here, and follow us at Dog Pound Daily. Check out all our articles. It's the most fun time of year to write if you're a Browns fan. It's draft time and combine time. So be sure to check it out, and be sure to tweet your hot takes at Andrew, as he will love to respond to them.
Always. Mostly screenshots, send them to Steven. So good luck and Godspeed.